This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
2 to 6, WVEI-FM and WVEI-HD1, Westerly Providence. 103.7 WEEI, a Radio.com sports station. It's time for Cordishi and Coit. Host Scott Cordishi.
When I was a freshman in 1985, Syracuse fans stand until the Orange score their first bucket. That was not a thing at the Dunk for Providence Friar fans. So I don't know how. Oh, this is a tradition at the Dunk. Well, not a long-standing one, I can tell you that.
Nick Coit.
No, I'm a big wrestling fan. My heyday was Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock.
Yeah.
What set my dad apart from a lot of guys was
the best drop kick in the business.
Drop kick you ready to kiss it.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
I wonder how the Red Sox are going to handle
the sign stealing thing.
You know, Alex Cora is
banned for life.
It's bad. And the Mets just hired Carlos Beltran as their manager.
He gone. I was joking with somebody that their biggest free agent acquisition is Carlos Beltran. I'm not saying devices and all that stuff.
It's time for Cordishi and Coit.
Say it ain't so, Joe.
Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Bruins, you tools.
Here's your host, Scott Cordishi and Nick Coit.
The end of a remarkable season. Let's go Red Sox! Let's go Red Sox!
Good morning, everybody. It is Cordishi and Coit on another Saturday morning here on WEEI. My name is Scott Cordishi, the man across the table from me, Nick Coit. Joe Passarelli on the other side of the glass producing this thing. You've got a painful look on your face, Nick Coit. What is that about? Oh, he's on mic two, I think, or
yeah, this one.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
There you go. I'm not dealing with that thing today.
Okay.
Not dealing with that.
So what's that pained look on your face? Yeah.
A grimace?
Well, Grimace is the purple dude from McDonald's, right?
Sure. Well, we're playing Dirty Water on a week that usually when Dirty Water's playing at Fenway Park, oh, everybody's happy. The Sox are winning, Kat. Yeah. Sox win. Yeah. Sox are the champs, Kat. Yeah. Yeah, not a good week for the Boston Red Sox. Not a good week for the Boston
Red Sox. We
keep
hearing, though, that Major League Baseball may be having trouble uncovering the dirt on the Red Sox.
Yeah, and that's why, I don't know. I know that at ownership, believe me, I sat in that 40-minute press conference this week where all I heard was
I heard your question.
Reserve judgment. Reserve. Yeah, you like that?
I did.
Yeah, see? Well, it's
true. Not really. I didn't like the question, but...
Really? You didn't like
hearing
the question?
From you.
You didn't like hearing the question?
Kidding.
Well, I was, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, well, now that they got to search for a manager, you know, my question was, how can you do things differently where you can find some long-term stability in that, you know, managerial spot? I know these are extenuating circumstances, obviously. I think they felt like they did find a long-term guy, but it's going to be their fifth manager in less than 10 years.
I mean, I assume that's their goal every time, though, Nick, right?
When
you hire a guy, you're not hiring thinking, oh, we're only going to have him for a year or two, and then we're going to fire him or he's going to move on.
Right.
You're thinking every time you hire a guy, you're hiring him for the long term. And even some of these short-term answers, whether it's John Farrell or, in this case, Alex Cora, have brought world championships to the Red Sox organization.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in that decade was Terry Francona, too. But still... You got to do something different here to find that stability because this is, again, fifth manager in 10 years. Like, every other team in town has found long-term success with their, whether it's Claude was here for a long time and then passed it on to Cassidy. Cassidy's been here a few years now. Brad Stevens has been here for a few years now. Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Been here a long time. So the Red Sox are the only ones that have trouble finding. And then when they win, something happens and then they start either having a couple losing seasons or whatever. They're up, they're down, they're all over the place. And so that's why I asked that question.
So if we want to start here, you know, this is definitely one of the topics, you know, we wanted to get into this morning. We can start here. Major League Baseball's cheating scandal. And I brought up the question, are they going to uncover any dirt on the Red Sox? I think that's a very important question, and I'll tell you why. You know, people just assume because Alex Cora and the Red Sox had a mutual parting of the ways, call it what you want, he got fired, whatever, People just assume.
They shove that in our faces, by the way.
But people just assume that because Alex Cora is no longer manager of the Red Sox, that the Red Sox, therefore, are guilty of cheating too, like the Astros. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not making that leap yet, and I'll tell you why. Are we going to say the New York Mets are guilty of cheating? Carlos Beltran never managed a freaking game for the organization.
Right.
And he stepped down, resigned, or was asked to leave, whatever you want to call it. Okay? So I'm not ready to say, oh, 100% Red Sox are guilty. Do I think it's more likely than not that they did some sign stealing and implemented some of Cora's tactics when he was in Houston? Yes. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I do think they were probably using video to try to break down opponents' signals. Did they take a bat to a trash can in the corner of the dugout to signal their teammates? I don't know. Did they put electronic devices under shirts and buzz them?
Oh.
I mean, that Twitter video on Altuve.
Yeah, I know.
La camisa no, la camisa no. And then when the game ends, in the immediate aftermath, there's celebration on the field. He runs into the clubhouse to change, to take it off, and then come back out.
I know.
I mean, that to me is the most damning evidence of all.
It's
Wouldn't you agree?
So bad. It's so
bad. It's amazing.
I couldn't believe when I watched that video. I'm like, oh boy. When I first was clicking on it, I'm like, people are going to make this out to be something, whatever, because they were doing that a lot on social media yesterday, and that's fine.
Yep.
But then I watched it and I'm like, this is weird. This is weird. He's so paranoid about it that he's saying that to his teammates when he just went out, walk-off home run to send his team to the World Series.
Because he doesn't want on national TV with the whole world watching to uncover the wire.
Now, credit to the Fox producers. They picked up on it right away because they had – Ken Rosenthal tweeted that a producer said in his ear before he asked him, can you ask Altuve why he didn't want his jersey ripped off? Because that was kind of weird. Like, credit to them. They
yeah, my wife
it.
Didn't want doesn't want to see that or something like
yeah,
that. That was
right?
how he played
like,
it off.
What?
Well, the first sign of guilt is this. When he's asked the question by Rosenthal, he says, what? You act like you need to hear the question again. He's gathering his thoughts. How am I going to answer this? What?
What?
You know, and then he asked the question a second time. Oh, yeah, my wife, they did that to me before. My wife says she didn't want to see it. Yeah, whatever.
Bad.
Whatever,
Altuve. Bad.
That really puts a stain on him. I have really two questions when it comes to this whole cheating scandal, okay? Mm-hmm. Whether or not it involves the Boston Red Sox. And my two questions are this. How big a deal should baseball be making out of this? And here's what I mean by that. Initially, when they came out with a punishment for the Astros, I said, wow, great job by Manfred coming out, being stern about it. We're not going to put up with this crap. Year suspension, then the Astros fire. I'm like, wow, this is sending a message. This is not NFL Roger Goodell stuff. This is serious stuff, right? Major League Baseball dropping the hammer on these cheaters, right? Yeah. I'm like, good stuff. Now, as this continues, the story continues to develop, now I'm wondering if maybe Manfred didn't overstep his bounds or overplay his hand. What I mean by that is this. We think maybe other teams are involved, and maybe the Red Sox are one of them, okay? Did you see the story from Jack McDowell, former White Sox pitcher, who came out and said, let me tell you something. We were doing that with the White Sox in the 80s with Tony La Russa. We had a video board or a sign out in center field, whatever it was.
There was a Gatorade sign.
Gatorade sign that had a light on it.
And it's confirmed. If you look at a picture of the old ballpark,
I mean,
there's a Gatorade sign.
I mean, so now, think – here's – if you believe all the stuff you're hearing, I think Manfred was hoping that this began and ended with the Astros. He's going to drop the hammer on them, and he wanted to be done with it. But then the Rosenthal-Drelick piece comes out. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, now I have to look into the Red Sox, okay? And now, you know, we hear, well, Beltran was with the Yankees and this and that and the other and other teams. But they don't want to expand this because you know what they're going to find if they do expand this? They're going to find that stuff like this is probably epidemic throughout their game,
happening
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so are you really going to start to investigate everybody and punish everybody? Because you just set the precedent that if you're caught doing this stuff, we're dropping the hammer on you. What are you going to do? You're going to fire and suspend every manager and GM of every team that's doing it? Because I got news for you. There might be a lot of teams that have been doing it. They were doing it back in the frickin' 80s in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little concerned about that, okay? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think it's hypocritical of Manfred and baseball if they say, well, we're not investigating the Yankees. You have to look into the Yankees. Beltran worked for him for 2 years, okay? You have to look into the Yankees. And I'm not just picking on the Yankees because I'm a Red Sox fan and I hate the Yankees. You got to look into every team, okay? You got to really find out how deep this goes. And you can't just say, I'm only going to punish the Astros and the Red Sox because, well, there were stories written about them or stuff came out about them. You got to look into this league-wide. That's number one. Number two is how much did this help? And what I mean by that is, how do we relate this to the steroid era, right? Like, what was more egregious in terms of cheating the game? Was it the guys that took steroids? Is it the signal stealing? Is it pitchers doctoring baseballs? Because they're all cheating, right? I mean, if you put something on a baseball on your pitcher because it'll make it move differently, that's blatant cheating. If you take steroids, I mean, that's blatant cheating. But I'm going to liken this to the steroid era, and here's how I'm going to make the analogy, okay? The steroid era was a big thing in Major League Baseball. To me, what it did was it made great players maybe a little greater, you know? And can I quantify it? No, I can't. I can't say that it meant 10 home runs more a year for Barry Bonds or others, 20, 30. I know Brady Anderson's the exception when you look at his jump to up in the 50s. But for the most part, I think, for instance, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds were Hall of Fame players, great players, before they ever touched the crap, right? With or without steroids, they were Hall of Famers. Maybe they were a little better on the stuff, okay? I'm willing to admit that. I can't quantify it. But I look at this sign-stealing scandal, and if the Red Sox were indeed doing it, Jackie Bradley hit like 234 in 2018. He had 234. How much did it help Jackie freaking Bradley? Hey, Jackie, let me tell you something. Justin Verlander could be on the mound with Jackie Bradley at the plate and say, hey, Jackie, this is going to be a fastball, okay? All right, no, this one's going to be a curve. It doesn't matter. You got to be a good hitter, whether you're taking steroids, whether you know what's coming from the pitcher or not. You have to have the ability to put the bat on the baseball. You've got to be a great player to begin with before all this cheating stuff. So I have seen the splits of Altuve in the postseason in 2018.
Oh, yeah.
Startling.
Oh, yeah.
At home and on the road. So I don't want to downplay that it doesn't help, but how much can we quantify this? How much did it help? And by the way, I'm teasing one of my Yankee friends, Craig Andreozzi from Warwick. Craig from Warwick's a Facebook friend of mine. Yeah. And I said, he's saying, look at these splits, you know, damn cheaters, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, by the way, Aaron Judge in 2018, his splits, he hit like 212 on the road in like 369 or 79 at Yankee Stadium. But that doesn't count.
Whoa.
But that doesn't count.
Oh, I just got a coughing fit. Oh, man. Woo. Oh, wow.
What was that?
Sorry. No, nothing. Were you talking about the Yankees? Is that what
yeah.
I heard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought I heard. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, while I was, whoa. Yikes. All right. A lot to unpack there, Scott.
Yeah. I mean, but those are my two main points.
Sure. To answer your second question, it helps. It absolutely helps.
Agreed.
Yeah. With the great players, if you know, having played and... I'm not going to say, yeah, I played professionally. No, I played baseball growing up. I played it into college. But I can tell you from playing it all the years I played it that if somebody said to me, a curveball is coming, I'm approaching that pitch completely differently than I'm approaching a fastball coming in. I am.
Of course.
It makes an absolute difference. If you know a slider is coming in, if you know a changeup is coming in, you completely change your mindset. It is what it is. You know.
Would you agree that Jackie Bradley was a better baseball player than Nick Hoyt? And I know you were like an academic All-American at Nessun. At Emerson.
At
Emerson Nessun. They sound the same.
At Nessun. Oh, boy.
But
he was waiting to do that since last week. He was chomping at the bit because I said that on the Brown broadcast. I was having some fun with
that.
So
what exactly were you at Emerson?
I was a GNAC all-academic team
Great
selection.
Northeast Athletic Conference all-academic. Yeah, baby!
Scott loved that I threw that in there. I got a certificate.
Like a Ponderosa certificate for that?
I got a certificate to show for it, baby.
So would you agree that Jackie Bradley was probably just slightly a better baseball player than you? Just a little.
Defensively, questionable.
Then
I don't know.
The hell did he hit .234 in 2018 and wore his .226 last year?
I think when I was growing up, Space Jam was one of the big movies that I watched. And I think of the scene where Michael Jordan he's playing minor league baseball and the catcher says to him, "Curveball, don't swing. Don't swing." And MJ looks back at him like, "Huh, okay, here comes a curveball." Because he signed a basketball for his kid or something, so he keeps telling the pitches. And then the curveball comes in, and MJ still swings at it. "I told you not to swing!" It's like, I couldn't help it. You know, it's like, that's, you know. So that's what I think of with Jackie Bradley. But I think when I hear the story of what, you know, happened in Houston with the Astros, you know, for now, with what we know now, I think what the Astros did goes beyond anything that anybody else has done. And that's why I think the story came out, why Manfred was so hard on them, is because this elaborate, they pretty much bugged their whole ballpark. It was bad. And the wire thing, the fact that that might be true, just looking at what we've seen on video, like, man, oh, man, that is bad. That's really, really bad. There's one thing to try to steal signs, and then there's that. So to me, the Astros, right now, from what we know, raised to another level than anybody else.
Right.
But I think you make a good point in, you know, this is a culture in baseball. Baseball for 100 years has been sleazy. There's the Black Sox scandal and the steroid era and all the things that have happened and people putting Vaseline. We watch the movie Major League and laugh when the old guy that's played by Ed Harris is the character's name, but I can't remember the actor's name, where he's taking Vaseline and he's got it on his chest and he's putting it on the baseball so he gets more spin on it. Like, this has been a part of baseball for so long, just the culture of gaining an advantage however you can. But, you know, I think for the Astros, I think Manfred came down on them hard, and I think he should have. But you're right, Scott. Did he overstep his bounds here? How far does this go? And that's where we're going to find that out. We're going to find that out soon with what they find with the Red Sox and whatnot. Yep. I don't know how much they're going to find, though, after that. You know, I think everybody's had a video replay something in their clubhouse or something somewhere.
Yep.
So it's just a matter of peeking at it or somebody going in the clubhouse or something like that, you know, from what we've seen. So I don't know. I don't know how much further it goes. Maybe it's just like, slap on the wrist, get out of there, don't do that. The Apple Watches thing, though, I think that's what you...
But they were punished for that. You can't now revisit that and say we're going to punish you again for it.
No, but they would make them repeat offenders, which is why you worry about the Red Sox and maybe them getting a harsher punishment because of that. But do I think a lot of other teams are doing it? Yeah, I think they were, because why give baseball the benefit of the doubt with all that's happened in the past? So I don't know if he overstepped his bounds by punishing the Astros, but you know, if he goes much further, I don't know. You know, maybe he might
be afraid of what you're going to find.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't go much further. But the Astros themselves, it's just the organization. It's sleazy. It is. With we saw with the assistant GM and the clubhouse and things like that during the postseason. I don't know. They needed a cleaning of the house, I think. And so I think it was good that they got the hammer. But if you go much further, I don't know. So what was your first question going back to that?
Well, so that
kind of ties into it, right?
I asked, you know, how much do you think it impacts?
It would go, yeah.
How much and how far should they go in the investigation?
Sure. So I think if they go much further, you're right. I think they don't want to go much further because they'll uncover.
Yeah, I hear, they wanted it to begin and end with the Astros.
Sure.
They didn't want to go down the Red
Neither
Sox
Red
road,
Sox.
But their hand was forced by the Rosenthal-Drellick piece.
Yeah.
All right, now and the fact that Cora, the alleged mastermind of this in Houston, oh, by the way, is managing the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So I think they had to go down that road.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Beltran, of course, who was, you know, very much a part of it as well. And he's no longer the manager of the Mets.
It's tough.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think, sitting in that press conference and listening to the Red Sox brass talk about how much they loved Alex Cora for 40 minutes, I really do feel that Cora is a decent guy. He just went too far. He pushed his borders too far.
You know what happens in situations like this too. You know, he gets caught and now everybody's throwing stuff back in his face at him. For instance, when he said to the Yankees, "Oh yeah, we were even with them, and then we scored 16 in Yankee Stadium. Suck it, right?"
Yeah.
And now that's being thrown back in his face. He didn't visit the White House because he didn't believe in the morals of President Trump, and now his morals are being called into question for being the ringleader of this cheating scandal in Houston. So all this stuff gets thrown back at you when you're on the other side of things.
It is, and that's.
But here's my question too with their decision, their mutual decision to part ways. We didn't fire him. Remember, we didn't fire him.
Oh, they
Red Sox brass made it clear
pushing that on us.
I believe that they had to have dialogue with Manfred, who said, "Look, regardless of what we find with your organization, this guy's getting suspended for at least a year, if not more, because he was the ringleader. He was the mastermind. So just so you know, you're not going to have him at least for this year, probably two, maybe indefinite. Who knows?"
Right.
That's why I think he was suspended.
Totally.
Because if you did not get that type of assurance from Manfred, and you do love Alex as much as they proclaim to, and I have no reason to believe they don't, why wouldn't you just say, "You know what? We're going to see this thing through."
Yep.
And if he gets suspended for half a season, you know what? Maybe we'll deal with that and we'll take him back, right? So I got to believe that they got word from Manfred that says, no. This guy was the ringleader of this. He's going down hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think that they came to the decision that they did, right? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, why 100%. Wouldn't you stick with a guy? If you really have that much respect for him as a manager, as a person, okay, he screwed up. He's going to serve his year suspension. We'll deal with it, but
that's
we want him back.
On. That's why they moved on. Absolutely. And that's why I'm sure Cora went in there and had the conversation and said, "Well, you know, he's not going to be around for a year, maybe more. And so why? You got to move on. You got to move on to the next person. You got to have stability. You can't just let this hang over you," which is why the Mets moved on from Beltran, because it would have hung over him because he didn't get any punishment. And it didn't sound like he was going to get any punishment, but the Mets didn't want this, you know, hanging over their new manager going into a spring training like this. They just didn't want that. So,
and by the way, is it Mike Fears or Fiers? How do you pronounce his name?
I think it's Fiers.
Fiers, okay. He's with the Oakland A's now, I believe.
Yes.
He's the one that came out and really blew the lid off of this Astros cheating scandal because he was with the Astros then. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Look, I think it's unfair to other pitchers." You know what I mean? Guys trying to make a living on the mound, and, you know, we know what their signals are. And my one problem with him is, you all of a sudden have an attack of conscience after you leave Houston. You didn't say anything when you were benefiting from it and winning a world championship with the Astros, but all of a sudden now that you're no longer there, you're having an attack of conscience? You know what?
Yeah, but
not quite sure how to view that.
If he hadn't said anything, where would we be? You know, where would we be with this?
True.
You know, he kind of had the – and this is – that kind of plays into, you know, if you heard Jess Mendoza's comments about this. I don't know if you heard about that
whole thing.
Yeah,
I did.
I think it's a shame that she's, you know, losing some of her. I think she lost her job at ESPN over this.
Is that right?
I believe so. I don't know. I'm not totally sure about that. That's what I was hearing. Which I think is ridiculous. But at the same time, I don't know, conflict. She was already working for the Mets, so it was kind of a conflict.
I thought she just said he should have gone to baseball through back channels and not come out publicly.
She pretty much said, yeah, she said he shouldn't have gone out publicly with
right,
it. But if you don't come out publicly with it, then it doesn't put the pressure, you know.
But why doesn't it? But I see your point. She could have gone to baseball and back channels, and maybe they could have.
They wouldn't have done anything if it was back channels.
You don't think so?
It's baseball.
Okay.
The back channels are filled with all this sleazy stuff. If you don't put the the pressure on publicly, then this doesn't happen. It doesn't. Manfred doesn't go.
You don't think if Manfred gets this through back channels, right, and it never sees the light of day publicly, that he doesn't go into Houston and say, you better stop this crap right now, because
probably,
if we find out that it's going to happen from this point forward, you guys are toast.
He might have gone there and sent a warning shot or whatever, but it would not have gotten the attention that it
got. Of course
got.
It wouldn't if he'd that's the whole point about
yes.
not going public.
Right.
Right.
But still, it was something that he felt like he should bring to light, and so he did. And, you know, I believe this was beyond anything else in baseball.
And if the Astros were doing this, right, why wouldn't any of their pitchers speak up about it? Because it hurts pitchers.
It does.
It hurts pitchers, doesn't it? It helps hitters, hurts pitchers, right? Mm-hmm. You make a living as a pitcher, and yet you were okay with it.
Yeah.
When you were playing for Houston.
But still, I think if it wasn't Fires, it would have been somebody else that comes forward, you know, at some point. It was bad. It was really bad what they were doing down there. I mean, the wire thing blows my mind.
It really takes cheating to another level.
It's unbelievable. It's something that they put on a suspect in Law & Order SVU where they want to catch the bad guy. Like, it's wiring. It's bugging. It's unbelievable. I shook my head. The Altuve thing really humanized it. That to me was like,
yeah,
wow.
That's what did it for me. That, you know, through all of this, when I saw that video, I'm like, oh my God, this was so much worse than we ever knew.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, that's when I said, wow, this is really
like
bad.
Stealing signs and banging a trash can, I think, is one thing.
Me too. I thought that was bad, but not. It just, when I saw Altuve, no la camisa, and I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, this is really
it's horrible.
Intricate. Yeah.
Horrible.
All right, let's open up the phone lines for people to jump on board. We're going to start here, but we have so much we want to get into.
Yeah.
It's conference championship weekend in the NFL. We're certainly going to touch on tomorrow's games. What's this offseason going to look like for the Patriots? Tom Brady, apparently, and Giselle and his family have moved into their home in Greenwich, Connecticut. We need to get into that. The Aaron Hernandez documentary on Netflix. We want to touch on that this morning. And Kyrie being the same old a-hole in Brooklyn that he was in Boston. Thank God he is no longer here. We got so much to get to, but we'll open up the phones for you right now. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. And you can.
Our phone lines are open.
Thank you, Bill.
Our phone lines are open.
You can reach us on the text line as well at 37937.
I'm going to drink
our
my
text
coffee.
Line is open.
I'm going to have some of my muffin, and I'll get ready to talk about Kyrie.
All right.
It just starts to give me a headache.
Back with more of Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM, WEEI.
Sports. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.